Creative Male Aging, a radio and internet project in which we explore and challenge many of the conventions around aging and look particularly at new options for today's older men. I'm Tony Ryan. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, I found that when I retired, I'd been in a fairly high-stress sort of environment. The first month after retirement, I just went, poor. And then I started saying, I felt that I still had something to give and I still wanted to not lose those skills that I'd learnt in the management side of things. And I felt that coming here might help me along that line, which it has. I'm still able to provide some input into the running of the shed, and I found that a great, almost a relief.
As we've just heard, retirement can sometimes be difficult for older men, especially if they experience a deep sense of loss of identity when purpose and meaning associated with a lifetime of work is challenged. In this program, we explore the role played by the Men's Shed movement in Australia in helping many older men in retirement regain a sense of purpose and indeed of identity through their involvement in a men's shed. But, as we will hear, there's much more to planning and operating a men's shed than simply finding a building and opening the doors. Having been through the lengthy process of planning for a men's shed, Heather Hewitt, Community Development Officer at the Paraka Farm Community Centre in Adelaide, is well aware of the many things that need to be taken into account for such a project to be successful.
The centre is at Paraka Farm Community Centre. It's situated in Paraka, so the south side of Salisbury Council area. They have a very diverse community. There's not any one particular focus on the community. Like there's lots of Vietnamese, we're getting a fair few refugees now from Afghanistan and Africa. Historically there's quite a high Italian population as well.
I guess that diversity adds a lot of richness to the centre.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. We've got a lot of adult literacy lessons, people coming in and learning English. We've got some art and craft courses and health and well-being, and we do a bit of multicultural cooking.
A few years ago, you took a decision to build a men's shed. Why was that decision taken?
Well, I'd been working with the Vietnam veterans for a while, and we do a ceremony every year. We have the Vietnam Veterans Awareness Project happening. And the guys were coming in for that, but they weren't being involved in other aspects of the centre. And we just thought, well, what is it? You know, what would attract them? And I was at a conference one day and seen someone talking about men's sheds, and I thought, oh, I think that would be really good here, because I'd sort of listened to the conversation of the women that are in the classes here, and they were saying about how their husbands had retired and they were just under their feet all the time. And, you know, just the woman wanted the men to have something to do, and they also, because the woman had been coming here, they really liked the idea of the community centre and how it supports people.
It's not just a small backyard shed, is it? It's a pretty big place.
Yeah, it is pretty big. In terms of men's sheds, it's probably an in-between size, but for us, it's quite a big shed. I was just envisaging a small, you know, maybe a bit more than a double garage, but it is quite a big shed. It's got a lot of stuff in it. It's a lot of machinery and a lot of activity. We have about 20 guys that are there regularly twice a week. And that's about the capacity of it as well.
We'll hear more from Heather Hewitt later in the program. Before walking through the shed and talking to some of the participants, I began by speaking to three guys who play key roles in the running of the Paraka Men's Shed.
Hi, Tony. We're now in the Men's Shed at Paraka, and we've got the shed here in front of us in two parts. We've actually, on our right-hand side, we've actually got a general assembly area, sorting out nuts and bolts and screws, storage area of equipment. And on the far side, we have our kitchen area, which is also invaded by a large trailer, which we use for storage and collecting goods, donated goods from the public. On our left side, we have a wall, which divides us into the machine shop, which is all the noisy stuff, which guys are required to actually wear earmuffs and eye protection in going into that area. So we keep the noisy stuff separate from the quiet stuff.
Bryce, who are the men who come here?
Well, I guess it's a cross-section of the whole society, and so we have quite a wide variation of men, some in their 80s and some who have only just recently retired, but most of them are retired. I'm the young'un of the group at 58, so it's quite interesting. And we have people who are very outgoing, others who are very shy, others who are highly experienced in woodwork and other trades, others who have come from admin backgrounds. So it is a very mixed bag.
Larry, what brought you to the shed?
I retired back in November last year, and sitting around home and wanted something to do. I came from a management background, ex-electrical type work and then into management, and I just wanted to get out of the house and have some involvement in something. And wife said to me one day, what about a men's shed? So the following week I was down here, and no regrets since.
No regrets. What have you been involved in particularly here?
I've made a couple of toys. I've made a table for children, restored a couple of children's chairs. The last, I suppose, 3-4 months, I've mainly been involved in management, doing the procedures and trying to get developed or put together a subcommittee from the management committee of the community centre, of which Russell and myself are both members. And I've been fairly heavily involved in trying to get that running.
Russell, what brought you to the shed?
Very similar to Larry, really. I started probably pretty much when the shed opened. I came along to the opening, saw what was happening and what they were sort of envisaging doing, and I just came along from then on and just joined in the program. And I was an electrician by trade, so I've become probably Mr. Fix-It. If a machine breaks down, they usually call me to try and get it going again. Sometimes we're lucky, sometimes we're not, but we seem to keep things going. And the woodworking side, I've developed into making tractors and things like that. That's one of our things that we do as a project. And, I'm thoroughly enjoying it.
How does the men's shed help with that transition from being in employment, probably full-time employment, to being past work, beyond work?
You know, just retiring and then you're home, you're looking for things to do. I mean, my daughter's got a couple of twins which keep us very busy as well. I find that the shed gives me that outlet that I can just come for a couple of days, the social atmosphere, working together. You know, particularly if a project comes in, you work on it together, usually a couple of you, it's not usually just one single person. And at the end you can see something that you've achieved and get a bit of pride out of doing it.
Those rules and regulations are pretty important, aren't they, in terms of occupational health and safety?
Yes, they are, very much. In fact, the new WHS laws that came in 2012, which would see myself put in jail or face significant fines if we don't have everything in place. And so the idea of having a bunch of old blokes in a workshop with lots of dangerous machinery is quite scary, and just trying to keep accreditation of guys, of their abilities to actually use machinery, and some voluntarily saying, no, I don't want to use machinery, others saying, yes, I've used it all my life, but have been using it in quite unsafe manners, so it's actually training them.
So those shed rules that are up on the wall there are pretty important.
Yes, in fact, we actually sat down at a team meeting of the whole everyone in the shed and saying, how do you want the shed to operate? What rules do you want to run by? So we've actually come up with them as an agreed set of rules that it just haven't been plucked out of the air, but it's everything that we've been put together that is how we want to be treated and how we should be operating.
I like that last sentence. This shed is a safe place to gain respect, encouragement and friendship.
Yes, that is the bottom line and for all of us here. And that's, despite what your opinions might be on politics or religion or anything else, it is a place to be respected, but also to gain lots of new friendships. And a lot of the guys come here who are quite lonely, who are widowed and are divorced, and they have a lot of strong friendships that go beyond this place. They go out shopping to Bunnings together. They go out and work at each other's places, helping with the gardening or other projects beyond the whole scope of the shed. So it actually overflows into the whole of their life.
The other thing that's hitting me at the moment is the smell of toast.
Yes, being a freezing cold day today, we sometimes have a open fire in a steel drum, and the guys are cooking some toast. Usually the smell in here is of freshly cut timber. There's a whole range, or someone's been cutting some angle grinding some steel, so you end up with that smell of cut steel. So there's a whole range of smells. And sometimes we've actually got a chicken place that cooks chickens over the fence here, and we get very hungry here with the smell of fresh food being prepared just nearby.
I'm seeing as we talk something that looks like a high chair, but I have a feeling it looks pretty ancient.
Yes, and one of the newer members of the shed, he's only been here a few weeks, he's over 80, and he's brought this high chair in, which his grandmother sat in the 1850s, and it's made of solid American oak, and it's got little cast iron wheels and turned, very delicately turned uprights in around the seat area, and it's a magnificent piece of furniture. So he's wanted it to be restored, and so he's doing that himself with the help of a couple of other guys who are a little more able, and just making a beautiful piece of artwork. And it is nothing that you'll find in the shops these days, anything like this.
Bill, I believe you're responsible for working on this wonderful antique piece of furniture.
That's right, yes. It's taken me about 6 weeks. It was all loose wood, and I had to put it all back together and paint it.
Tell me about the history of this chair.
As far as I can understand, it was late 1800s. And it was passed down to my great-grandmother, and then from my grandmother to my mother, and then from my mother to me.
Now, looking at it, and this is the first time I've seen it, it seems that it can be set to different heights.
That's right, yes. You can have it up as a baby feeding chair, and if the baby gets restless, you just pull the button out, and it falls down into a pram, and you can read the push the babies around the wherever they want to go in it.
What has it meant to you to work on this over the last few weeks?
Well, it's something that I never ever thought I'd get around to doing, but now that it's finished, I'm over the moon. Here are some photographs I took off the internet, and I'll give them to you to do as you like.
Bill, thank you, and what a great piece of furniture.
Yeah. Good, thank you very much.
Bill, what's your next project?
Well, my next project is doing frames with World War One, II diggers with their photos and the medals in them, so that the people whose photos they are, they can hang on their walls and remember them.
Is it your family, or is it for the wider community?
No. Once I get started, I'd like to do it for everybody. I would like one myself. My son, who recently died, I would like to do the first one in memory of him.
That sounds fantastic. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you very much.
Bob, what's happening in here?
We have a bike program, recycling into the community. Old bikes and new bikes that have been handed in by the police or Bicycle SA, and we redo them up and recycle them to quite a few charities in South Australia. People who need bikes, like Migrants SA, Anglicare and Salvation Army and what have you. And today we got a whole load of newer bikes from Bicycle SA, and we're going through those, and we've got to recycle 13 bikes in a couple of weeks' time.
Thank you, Bob. Arnie, what are you working on here?
I'm trying to fit this onto there, but the screw is higher than what the bracket is itself. So
this looks like a reflector that goes on the back
that's
of the right. bike. Is that right?
That's right. And this is the one that was fitted to it. So the one of that was broken. So we just I need to find a washer big enough on there to go down. But the thread's only very short there, any rate. So we're having real trouble.
Bob, what do you get out of doing all of this?
I see something to do with men's sheds is to get work into men's sheds so people can do something useful. And I find because there's so many bikes needed, I'm more use here than in the woodshed.
On the Community Radio Network, you're listening to Creative Male Ageing, and this is Program 10 in this 12-part series. Today I'm visiting the Paraka Men's Shed in suburban Adelaide, and the focus of the program is on older men's learning, particularly in the context of the growing men's shed movement around Australia. Before we return to Heather Hewitt, Salisbury Council's Community Development Officer at Paraka Farm, here again is Bryce Routley, the coordinator of Paraka Men's Shed and a member of both the South Australian and National Committees of the Australian Men's Shed Association.
I've not retired as such. I've left the government after 37 years behind a desk as a law enforcement agency of Environment Protection Authority and SA Water. But I've had a lifestyle change and I've chosen to actually come in and work in the community in this way, but also do a more flexible work arrangements in my own business in doing home maintenance. So it gives me a chance to give back to the community, but to actually do things in a more flexible way. And every day for me is what I call Tuesday. I choose what I do each day. So it's a new way of living for me.
And it's part of that transition, isn't it?
That's very much so. And so it, rather than working 9 to 5, I can be around for my grandchildren and be able to still have a productive input into the life, but still have an income as well. So it's splitting myself across in a new way of living and working arrangements. I guess learning takes many forms, and I teach here at the Men's Shed woodwork and metalwork classes to kids who have dropped out of high school and middle-aged adults with learning difficulties. But also learning takes a number of different facets. And like we've got one guy here who, when he first came, severe nervous condition, would stand out the front, smoke a cigarette, wouldn't come into the shed for the first week, then ventured in with fear and trepidation and said, look, I'd like to make some little toys for myself. Yes, you can do that. He would squirrel away each week, not talk to anyone. He would disappear. But over the last 12 months, he's come out of his shell. He's now sharing in the morning tea breaks. He's asking guys about different things. And he has really learnt new social skills that he's never had before. And so it's a fascinating, very quiet little revolution happening in this one guy's life.
I've just joined you for morning tea and there was a long table with, 21, 22 guys there, and it was pretty noisy, but great.
Yeah, very much. And I think that's the key element of the sheds, is that the kettle is the most important part of the shed and that guys share their stories. Some of the stories are long-winded, but they're sharing their life histories and where they're going on their journey, and someone to actually talk to, and that's a really important part of the whole process. And also they pick up different skills here. There's guys here learning how to wood turn. There's guys here learning how to restore furniture that they've never done before, or have never had the confidence to do. So there's a whole heap of learning going on, but all at different levels.
When I left school, which was many, many years ago, I hadn't done woodwork classes since then. A lot of home handyman stuff and self-taught. And just before I retired, I had the opportunity to buy a second-hand wood lathe, which I did. Not knowing how to use it, not knowing one chisel from the other, came along here and almost immediately met a gent who actually teaches wood turning at another group, and sat alongside of him, and I learnt finally how to turn wood. You know, now at home I can do it myself, and it's been really good to get that free lesson, basically.
The general policy for sheds is that they develop their own set of rules of how they operate, and this overlaps into whether women are involved or not and to what extent. Now, the main philosophy behind men's sheds is to actually encourage guys to actually talk about their problems in an environment where they feel safe and comfortable, and in lots of ways they would like to do it when the women are not present. Some sheds have women actively involved in the normal program. Some have specialised sessions for women, but the other sessions, the general run-of-the-mill sessions, are exclusively for men, so that they can actually encourage men to actually talk about their different issues, that they male problems that they might have and might feel uncomfortable talking when there was a woman in the room.
I've heard that some days are set aside for women, some days are set aside for men, some days are set aside that anyone can come in.
That is correct. And in this shed, we have classes that are for youth and for women, particularly the home maintenance class that I run here, that we had three women in the class. In fact, one of the young girls even went out from here with renewed confidence and became a first fix carpenter. So women can be quite actively involved.
Heather, the shed here has been running now for 2 years. What do you see as some of the benefits of the shed?
Well, the benefits of the shed, when guys ring about, you know, what can we do, you know, we'll refer them to the shed. It's really great that we've got this place that men can go to. There's a lot of friendships being created. In the beginning, you know, it was just a bunch of guys coming together, doing their thing, and then looking at sort of things they could make. And nowadays, they actually catch up for lunch on days when the shed's not on, that they're... You may be going for outings on the weekends or going for bike rides together. These are guys that probably are fairly well loners or live in their own, don't have a lot of social contact with others. So now they're almost like a family together with them. We've had one guy who's been retired for a while, and I know that his wife was quite concerned about him, and he's got involved in the shed and he's just thriving, and he's sort of taking it on board and is getting people organised, sorting out bikes, has really found his place, I think, and is very happy about what he's doing. What I see happening with the men with the disabilities is that they're very tentative at first, but then they, you know, after a few weeks, they get right in there and they're joking with the guys and really sort of just mixing in with all of them and have, you know, really... can see the difference in them, that they're happier. Yeah, just a difference in their face. And they also say hello to me. You know, quite often, you know, at first people are very hesitant, and a woman rocking up at the shed, they're always a bit wary. But, you know, I'll get a conversation out of some of those guys now, whereas at the beginning I didn't. And the shed gives them that outlet where they can do the block stuff, you know, have those conversations with the guys. There'll be times where they'll sit down and they'll be chatting about what's happening in the shed. They might chat about some health issues that people are having, you know, have a discussion on sort of what's coming up in the community, what they can be involved in. They also discuss the different projects, and also they have input into how the sheds run. You know, what they have suggestions, and you know, what's the best way? We've got this problem. How do we fix it? And so it's a community shed. It's the guys are there and they have input into it.
Bryce, in this area we've got the Holden's factory, and that's closing down. Does that have any implications for men's sheds?
Yes, it has. Holden's have approached me about how men's sheds could be involved with the closure of the plant and actually help the guys cope with their transition either into new employment or into retirement. And so I've actually spoken with them, and they were keen to send people along to the local men's sheds, but there really isn't really enough capacity in the local shed. There's only three here in the northern suburbs. And really, with over 2,000 employees directly involved with Holden's, and that doesn't include the suppliers, there's a massive number of people who could be involved with sheds, and sheds could be quite an integral and necessary part of the closure plan. So it's critical that we can get in alongside with the state government, federal government and Holden's to actually develop some sheds that are particularly to the suit the needs and how we can actually help this whole area that could be quite severely devastated by massive unemployment, which could follow on into things like domestic violence, robberies, downturn even in shops and even the far distant things like people not getting their car serviced, this just knock-on effect is quite massive when you consider the size and scale of this whole thing. So it's really important to have men, particularly men, because that's the majority of people at Holden's, have them be involved in some sort of training, retraining, or transitioning from work life into retirement. Because a lot of these people have worked there their whole lives, and they've just put 5 screws in a dashboard, and that's all they know. And so going back to formal training at TAFE or university is nearly impossible for these people, yet less formal, informal training in a shed, it'd be a really critical and an easy path for them to actually follow, that they could easily learn a new skill, whether it's in woodwork, but sheds can be involved with preparing food. It can be involved with a whole range of different skills which don't necessarily suit a normal shed, but even just something to go along and talk to about their issues. And if they've got colleagues there that they've worked with as well, it just makes it a more useful place for them and help them with the transition.
Well, I was just going to use that word, transition. This is exactly what it is, isn't it? A transition.
Yep. Very much. And it is a massive transition because a lot of the Holden workers work in family, what they call family groups. And when they've got problems at home, they come and talk to their family members, loosely speaking, at work. But once that gets disintegrated, what happens to these people? And they really need to go somewhere to where they can transition into talking to other people, a new circle of friends. And so I think men's sheds are an excellent avenue to actually help this whole process.
Well, a message to men that may show some sort of interest in looking at a men's shed, all I can suggest is come along. It's an open book. Come and have a look. See if you're interested, and certainly if you are, the people in the shed welcome you with open arms, and there's such a versatility that you can get involved in. It's not only woodworking, it can be, you know, you've got social sheds that play darts and cards and just socialise and drink coffee and that sort of thing. You've got others that get involved in welding and all sorts of various projects.
The message I'd like to put out there is, if guys, if you're sitting at home doing nothing, don't know why you're getting up each day, have a look at the men's shed. May not be for you, but it just might be. There's plenty available. Get onto your local council, find out where they are, and just go and have a look. It just might be what you're looking for.
In these two programs, we've heard about the role played by men's sheds in helping older men to continue learning and to maintain and build a sense of identity and purpose at this time of life. We've heard from Paraka Farm Community Centre's Heather Hewitt and from Paraka Men's Shed, Bryce Routley. My thanks also to the other men who spoke to me during my visit on a cold winter's day when a warming fire provided a great outdoor gathering place for the 20 or more guys there that day. Further information on the topic of older men, identity and learning will shortly be online, creativemaleaging.com. That's creativemaleaging.com. This Creative Male Ageing project was made possible with assistance from the Office for the Ageing, Department of Health and Ageing, the Government of South Australia. The project consultant is South Australian psychotherapist, author and educator, Dr. John Ashfield. From PBAFM in Adelaide, I'm Tony Ryan. Till next time, go well.